Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, September 16th. Coming up today, we'll hear about a woman who's appeared in court after skipping out on a restaurant bill worth hundreds of pounds. We'll also hear from the Jills manager after their League 2 win over the weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today, Sir Keir Starmer says he and the Italian Prime Minister have shared intent to work together to tackle asylum issues. They've met in Rome as figures show more than 1,000 people crossed the Channel to Kent in small boats over the weekend. Eight men also died off the coast of France. Kay Marsh is from refugee charity Samfire in Dover.
First of all, Kay, could I just get your reaction to the news that came in over the weekend about eight asylum seekers losing their lives in the Channel?
It's very shocking. You know, it's getting to the point now where these things happening isn't so shocking anymore because they're happening so often. But, you know, this is just days after the last incident. We've gone from maybe once or twice a year in the winter to, well, every few days, every few weeks, months at the moment. And it's just so tragic.
And what do you make of the government's response to the crisis in general? Obviously, Labour have been in power for a couple of months now. What do you make of their overall kind of approach to this? Is it what you were hoping for from a new government?
No, quite frankly. I think most people, especially on our side, were hoping that the new government would bring safe and legal routes, or at least bring that conversation to the table in a serious way. It feels like Keir Starmer has pretty much taken safe and legal routes off the table entirely, and he's reverting back to the Tory idea of deterrence working, which they absolutely don't.
So Keir Starmer's in Italy today to have talks with their Prime Minister, and they're bringing in a sort of agreement with Albania to send asylum seekers there. What do you make of that?
It sounds very much like another deterrence strategy, like another very expensive, pointless deterrence strategy, much like Rwanda. Which, of course, was the first thing that Keir Starmer did away with. So it's very peculiar that he's decided to go down this route. I think the government are keen to be seen to be doing something, you know, but nothing that's going to happen anytime soon. And this deterrence is, it gives people the idea that something will change. But after 12, 13 or more years now of deterrence that don't work, haven't worked, you know, the deaths continue to rise in just an exponentially tragic way. The numbers continue to rise. It doesn't work. And it's the fact that they're still sort of sticking to this hardline deterrent approach just goes to show how much compassion is really going into this conversation.
And we've also heard today who the new head of the Border Command Force will be. And it will be a police boss who actually was in charge of the COVID laws during lockdown, Martin Hewitt. How much faith do you have in that system to change things?
I think the government's strategy of sort of beefing up security at the port, you know, on paper it makes sense and it might make people feel a little safer, like something's being done. But I think it's really important to remember the last time we took that strategy was around 2018 time. And it the only difference it made is it pushed people into small boats. So instead of people in the back of lorries, we just saw a change of transportation and then numbers just go crazy. So, you know, beefing up security is not necessarily the answer. No.
Kent Online News.
A sex offender from Folkestone who attacked young girls on three separate occasions is facing a possible prison sentence. One of the victims was targeted on a bus and others were in the street when he approached them. 79-year-old Isaac Hammond from Marine Terrace will be sentenced in November after a psychiatric report. A businessman from Broadstairs who ran over and killed a cyclist has been spared jail. Jacqueline McFarling died after coming off her bike at the junction between Montefiore Avenue and Dumpton Park Drive in Ramsgate in January 2022. Carl Brownlee, who's 45 and from Botany Road, has been given a suspended sentence, a 12-month driving ban and ordered to pay more than £1,600. A Tunbridge man who was caught riding a moped while under the influence of cannabis has lost his licence. Billy Kafola failed a drug swab after being pulled over by police on Harvest Road in February. The 23-year-old from Tweed Road has been given a one-year driving ban and ordered to pay more than £250. Now, a mum of two from Maidstone has appeared in court accused of walking out on a restaurant restaurant bill worth hundreds of pounds because there was a hare in her food. Lucy has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. She's got some more details for us.
Rosemary McDonough was having dinner at Wagamama at Ashford's designer outlet in January this year with another five or six people. At the end of the meal, Rosemary was left in the restaurant with just one of the other guests and a bill of £227. At this point, she complained to staff that there had been a hare in her food and she wasn't going to pay. Staff did offer her a replacement, but she refused and walked out.
And I understand she was also questioned about stealing from a local Dunelm.
Yes, that's right. Rosemary is also thought to have stolen between £150 and £190 worth of bedding from the store at the Ashford Retail Park in Willsborough last December. She's got a number of previous convictions for shoplifting offences and pleaded guilty to both the theft from Dunelm and the dine and dash at Wagamama's when she appeared in court. The 23-year-old is part of the travelling community and lives in Barhurst Road with her parents and two young children. She told the judge she was going through a difficult time in her life and was struggling with a difficult relationship when she carried out the crimes.
What was her sentence?
Well, despite previously having been on a community order for other theft offences, Rosemary was fined £138 for the Wagamama incident and ordered to pay £50 compensation for her meal. She was not made to settle the full amount of the outstanding tab. She was also ordered to pay Dunelm £150 compensation for the bedding she stole, but received no further penalty.
Thanks, Lucy. An investigation from Kent Online revealed in July that police in the county are receiving more than 15 reports a month of dine and dash offences.
Kent Online News.
Firefighters have been at the scene of a hay bale blaze in Gravesend nearly 40 hours after it started. It broke out in the Foxhounds Lane area on Saturday night. Now, a Kent doctor is among those welcoming a ban on junk food ads on TV before 9 p.m. Last week, the government confirmed new rules will come into force in October next year. Latest figures show more than a third of Year 6 pupils in Kent and Medway are overweight or obese. Dr Jack Jacobs is a GP near Ashford and hopes it'll change parents' attitudes.
I actually really support it. You know, I do see that there are lots of young people and children who are definitely overweight, and it causes like problems for them, not only as a child, but we know it's going to cause increased risk of health problems as they get older. And, you know, I think there's really good evidence now to link ultra processed foods and some of these palatable fast foods, junk foods, call them what you like, and obesity. So I think it's important as part of the message to get and encourage people to make healthier choices in their diet, to sort of take the lure of the advert, and we're all susceptible to this, away. So, you know, as a healthcare professional, I do support it. I kind of know, you know, I'm a parent as well, and I'm not saying I never eat junk food, because we all do, don't we? But I just think advertising works, and if we can resist temptation or take the temptation away whenever we can for children, I think it's a really sensible move, actually.
Yeah, we kind of see it everywhere, don't we? These adverts for these fast food chains and things like that. They're all kind of brightly coloured and they seem really fun, and that could really be quite influential for children.
I think it is. I think it is. And it's quick and it's easy. You know, and they design these foods so that they're tasty, so that the consistency is easy for kids to eat. But we know that what it does to the inside of your body and your brain and your guts is not good. So, yeah, I think as much we can do to limit consumption of that sort of thing, you know, the better. I think alongside that, there really does need to be a bit of advice on, you know, how you do actually cook food at home, how you prepare fresh food, because I think it takes time. You have to get used to it. I think children have to get used to the taste of the foods, and that really does require a bit of effort. And I'm not entirely convinced we're very good as a country at doing that anymore.
I've been taking a look at the figures today. These are the latest figures on obesity for Year 6 pupils. And in Kent and Medway, more than a third of Year 6 pupils are classed as overweight and obese. Is that shocking to you? Is that something, you know, you're seeing children coming into the surgery with those kind of issues?
You know, it doesn't surprise me, because I think, you know, that reflects the sort of children we see day to day in our surgeries. But, you know, that just was not the case 20 or 30 years ago. The thing that has changed is our diet. Kids are still, yeah, maybe kids are a bit less active, but they're still pretty active. The thing that has changed is our diet.
What are some of the risks for children who are in that category of being overweight or obese?
So I think, I guess I would sort of divide that into sort of physical and mental health risks, really. If you are overweight as a child, you're probably more likely to suffer injuries. You're probably more likely to be at risk of developing so things like diabetes, so metabolic problems. I mean, there is an increasing rate of young people developing the sort of diabetes, which is where you can't control your sugar levels. That we, 20 years ago, we saw it in adults, but we're now seeing it in children because if you put on weight, you're eating the wrong food, your body just can't cope with it. And I think there is an effect on your mental health. If you're eating food that makes you overweight, often it's low in nutrients, and that can affect all sorts of bits of your body, including your mood and concentration. So I think all of it is linked.
A Sheerness restaurant has been given the lowest possible hygiene rating after inspectors found moldy food and an infestation of mice. Officials also found water leaks and discarded vegetables at Masala Reef in Hope Street. Managers insist they've turned things around and they expect a high score when they're re-inspected within the next month. A Kent mum who spent 8 days in a coma after contracting meningitis is sharing her story amid concerns about a sharp rise in cases. Alison was rushed to hospital in February after suffering from flu-like symptoms as well as memory loss, confusion and tiredness. The 34-year-old from Hawkinge says it was a scary time.
I had a cold in February and it just got worse over time. And I was at work on the Wednesday and I said, I don't feel well. I was like, I had a banging headache. I had the chills and then I was hot and then I was cold. And I said to work, I said, I'm going home. I came home, went straight to bed and that was it. I can't remember waking up the next morning to do the school run. I never turned up to work. And the next day, I can't remember. The next thing I remember is waking up in the hospital. And even then I thought, why am I here? I thought I was in there for COVID or something else. And then that's when they said you had meningitis. I didn't know where it came from. They said sometimes if you've got a cold, it can sort of penetrate. But yeah, I had a cold, and the next thing I woke up in hospital.
What were you feeling at that moment? Were you scared at all?
Yes. I woke up and I had a tube in my throat and I couldn't speak. So everyone was just around me and I couldn't ask what I was doing here. And then everyone just kept saying, "You're really poorly." And I thought, what's wrong with me? But with the build up before I ended up in hospital, I just thought it was a cold. I was taking night nurse, I was taking day nurse. I just thought maybe I was getting the flu. And then it obviously developed into a bit more than a cold.
So, you didn't really know much about meningitis at the time. I mean, do you think many people do know the signs and symptoms to look out for, or do we need to be more aware of that as a society?
I think everyone associates meningitis with a rash because that's what's taught. If you have a rash, sort of you're looking at meningitis. I didn't know anything about meningitis other than if you've got a rash that doesn't fade, it can be something that's obviously worse. My partner didn't know much, and he's the one that called the ambulance about meningitis. I didn't actually have the rash initially, so it was the hospital and the paramedics that thought it was sepsis to begin with, and then the rash developed a little while later. But people need to realise it doesn't start with a rash. It starts with other symptoms like headache and sensitive to lights and things like that. It's not always down to a rash. So I know now, obviously, through experience, but at the time, I didn't know.
And obviously, the charity Meningitis Now have issued this warning about a rise in cases. And I suppose you're kind of part of that, aren't you? With your case being quite recently, and this worry about more people getting meningitis. Would you kind of echo the message they're putting out about, being aware and the vaccinations?
Yeah, I mean, it does need a lot more publicity than what it gets because it's a killer meningitis, it really is. And if you don't act on it quickly, it could potentially obviously be the worst case scenario for someone. And with the vaccination, I don't think that was around when I was in school because I can't recall having it. But now, obviously, I think if they offered it to me now, I'd have it. But I think that everyone should get the vaccination because it's just not something you want to go through.
Charity Meningitis Now says cases across England have nearly doubled in the space of a year. They're urging people to make sure vaccinations are up to date.
Kent Online News.
Developers are facing backlash after reviving plans to build a 200-home estate in Canterbury. The scheme off Nackington Road was first proposed 2 years ago, but critics raised concerns over the potential loss of Grade 1 farmland and the impact on wildlife as well as traffic pressures. Housing group Beyond Home says they've revised their application to address concerns. There's anger over plans to build a 4,000-new-home estate in Faversham. A large area of land near Brenly Corner has been earmarked for development. It's been described as a disaster by campaigners who've started a petition against the idea. Meanwhile, there are plans to build more than 40 homes at a former aggregates workshop in Deal. Developers want to demolish the site at Sandfield Farm or Northwell Road and replace it with houses and flats. A decision is due to be made in November. It comes as there are concerns an HMO at the site of a former cafe in Canterbury could drag the area down. There are plans to redevelop the first and second floors of the Boho Cafe on the High Street, which closed 4 years ago. Local bosses say an application to turn it into a three-bedroom property would be out of keeping with the historic area. There's been an outpouring of sadness in Woolmer after a family-run garage has closed after almost 100 years serving the community. The Green Garage in Station Road launched in 1928 as a repairs garage, hauling contractor and taxi service. It's thought to have carried out more than 20,000 MOTs since the early 1980s and also specialised in maintaining classic cars. Now the lease has run out and the landowner is selling up. Archie Shorter has been the boss there for the last 44 years. He's been speaking to the podcast.
People that own the place, they want to move on. They've owned it for over 100 years. It's been in the same family, so they're getting to the age where they've got to do something about it. So that's why we're packing up.
And how do you feel about that? Very sad, I guess.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm sad about it. I'm sorry to see another small garage go, but that's the way the world's running at the moment, I'm afraid.
And you're 83 now, aren't you?
Oh, I'm 83, yeah.
You'd have every right to retire in your 60s. What made you keep working?
Well, when someone brings a car in and we repair it, what I want to see is them getting their car with a smile on their face and enjoy their vehicle. That's what it's all about.
Kent Online News.
A dad says he's sad and frustrated after being told to remove his son's play equipment from the garden where they live near Canterbury. The swing and trampoline set is within a communal space at flats on Hillbrow Avenue in Sturry. Owen Halton put it there for his four-year-old son who has autism and struggles going to the local park.
He absolutely loves it. Every day he asks to come out and it's just a lovely park for him. He loves coming out here just to play out in the garden for hours. When it's time to go in for like dinner time or it's getting a bit cold, he plays up a little bit because he just wants to be in the trampoline. It's the first thing he runs to when it's time to go in.
And so how do you feel about the way the council have dealt with this?
I feel quite upset that we've explained why we need it and we've tried to meet them halfway about it, saying that we'll make it safe for when he's not using it, even though we're the only people who actually use this garden in the block of flats, and they've just met us with just a brick wall, really.
And you are willing to meet them halfway, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%. I've offered to take the swing down every night, so it's just an empty framing somehow, and to secure the actual trampoline itself, so no one can actually get on it. But they just still seem that they can't do nothing.
Yeah, so tell us a bit more about Hunter.
So Hunter's four, he had quite a lot of health problems growing up. He was a lockdown baby, so he was inside for most of his early years. And then the last couple of years, we started noticing bits of autism just popping out of him. And really within the last year since moving to this area, he's started to struggle a lot more, especially socially. Now he's starting to talk more and he's starting to get to that age where he wants to play with other children, and it's just really difficult for him because of they don't understand him. They call him baby because of he can only speak a couple of words. It's just heartbreaking for him. He's a lovely lad, he always wants to play with friends and everything, but there's just not enough awareness out there for autism. It's a big problem. Quite a lot of quite a lot of children have autism nowadays, and there's just nowhere near the right amount of awareness for it out there.
And you felt the council being quite hypocritical as well, because you know you've got concrete bird baths and ornaments over there and over there, yeah, and everywhere. So tell me a bit about that.
It's because we've got rubbish in the garden what's been here for 6 years now, even before we moved in. It's mouldy, there's rats, that's a health and safety risk. We've got concrete washing line posts which got sharp edges and metal sticking out of it. The gardens are not kept when we first moved in. The manhole drain, there was a massive hole in it, and it took them 4 months to come out and just put a bit of concrete, because you could easily fall down into the manhole. And there's people who have stuff out in their gardens all the time. We've been told by neighbours they've had stuff taken out of their gardens by the council because of it. It's even though it's a communal garden, we've still got a right to put stuff in there because it's a place where we live.
Canterbury City Council say the tenancy agreement they've signed makes it clear that play equipment cannot be put in a communal garden. A consultation opens today on an expansion of Medway's new school streets program. The initiative was introduced at 7 schools earlier this year and sees some roads cycle and pedestrian only during certain times of the day. Council now wants to roll it out at a further 9 sites. You've got until October 27 to have your say. It's been revealed how small developments in part of East Kent are being held up because of an issue with pollution at a local nature reserve. Natural England is worried about wastewater getting into the protected land at Stodmarsh. A developer hoping to convert a former GP surgery in Canterbury says the 3-year delay is ridiculous. Natural England say they're working with the government to provide advice.
Kent Online News.
Head to Kent Online to see pictures of colourful murals that have been painted at a construction site in Margate. Artists from an organisation called Rise Up Cleanup have decorated the wooden hoardings around land at Dane Valley, where affordable homes are being built. It had previously been covered in graffiti. The new murals have messages of ocean awareness and sustainability. And secondhand Christmas lights will be strung through a Kent village this December. It's hoped the festive display in Minster-on-Sea will boost the local economy by attracting families and sightseers. Been bought for £17,000 from Sittingbourne, who will be getting new ones this year.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Gillingham are back to winning ways as they beat Tranmere Rovers 3-0 at Priestfield. Armani Little scored early in the second half before Ethan Coleman was sent off. Jaden Clark then got 2 goals in the closing stages of the match. Manager Mark Bonner says it was a tough game.
It's a brilliant win against a team that haven't conceded chances or goals and haven't lost yet. Tough game, as we expected it to be. Thought we started both halves like a train, and then we made the game difficult for ourselves again because of the sending off. So that's 2 times really we've made it hard. But I've got to say the mentality of the team when it goes against us is amazing, because one, you want to respond well with a good result when you've had a difficult day like last weekend, and 2, when you have those moments in games, that's the story you build together. We get the lads over, they're having a drink. All anyone's saying is, we've been here before. And when you have those experiences to fall back on, it gives you a little bit of a way of handling that and coming out of a good result. We handled it or played in a different way this time to last time, made different changes and everything because of the context of the game and the way we thought it was going. But impact from those boys was great. 2 amazing counter-attacking goals. A wonderful result for us. In fairness, we thought they got the ball in the box a few times a bit too easily. In the first half, we weren't landing on a few second balls and moments. They play the game in a way that you have to be so good in those situations. The first pass, the second balls, and they caught us a couple of times. We had to make a couple of brilliant blocks in the first half to keep them out, again with 11 men, and we did it lots with 10 as well. But that's where boys are great. And actually, even the corner in the 90... whatever minute it was in the end, because it went on forever that game, but whenever that last corner comes, all anyone's thinking is, see this bit out, don't concede a goal, 3-0 is better than 3-1. And that's the mentality we want to build: clean sheets, wins, gritty performances, and all the best on top of that will come as we get more and more confident, more used to each other. But lots to like in our performance. I'm pleased today.
And briefly in ice hockey, it was a mixed weekend for Invicta Dynamos in the South Division 1. They beat Solent Devils 6-4 away from home on Saturday, but lost 7-5 to Streatham Redhawks in Gillingham last night. It was the first 2 league games of the new season. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.